طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Tonight this is our fourth follow-up lecture, and a follow-up from the topic of Iman that we close with from Manhaj Ahl Sunnah fil Aqeedah wal Amal. When we completed the Manhaj, we thought that it would be of benefit to extend the topic of Iman by reading the summary of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen and his summary of Hamawiyyah entitled Fath Rabb al-Bariyyah bi-Talkhis al-Hamawiyyah. So this is the final chapter of Hamawiyyah, dealing with the topic of Iman according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this is the fourth and final topic of that final chapter from Hamawiyyah. The topic that we're going to talk about tonight, we didn't talk about in the discussion of Iman in Manhaj Ahl Sunnah at all. We didn't talk about it at all. So this is a completely new topic related to Iman that we have not discussed in this course previously. Before we look at the topic for tonight, which is the issue of Al-Istithna fil Iman, before we look at that topic, we're going to go back and review some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 3. The first question being, summarize the four primary asbab of ziyadat al-iman, the primary causes of increase of iman that were mentioned by the author, rahimahullah. Summarize, yani point by point. One of them, Abu Bakr. Okay. Ma'rifatillah wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi. Naam. Yani being familiar with or having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His names and His characteristics or descriptions or qualities. Two, Mustafa.
Pondering, contemplating on the universal signs of Allah.
Pondering, contemplating, yani looking at and examining the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah, al-qawniya wa shara'iyya, yani the signs that are in the universe, the creation of Allah, and the signs, the ayat of Allah, yani al-shara'iyya, which came in the revelation, in the Qur'an. And by the way, the revelation also includes the sunnah. Naam. Number three. Naam, Umar.
Doing good deeds.
Doing good deeds.
Sincerity.
Naam, doing good deeds. Yani with sincerity. Yani in accordance with the sunnah. And he fi'l al-ta'a. And the last one that he mentioned, Murshid.
Abandoning disobedience for the pleasure of Allah.
Abandoning disobedience for the pleasure of Allah, or out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tark al-ma'asiyah khawfan min Allah azza wa jalla. These four primary asbab, causes of increase of iman, because there are many causes of increase of iman, or means to increase of iman. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in Hamawiyyah, he mentioned these four being the fundamental, the most important things that are causes of increase of iman. Second point. Second question, discuss the three resultant benefits derived from the first sabab of ziyadat al-iman. Yani the first sabab of ziyadat al-iman is what? The first sabab of ziyadat al-iman is ma'rifatillah. Ma'rifatillah wa asma'i wa sifati. So, what are three benefits that are derived from this first cause that is mentioned by the author? What's your name, Akhi?
Mubarak
now. Mubarak. Tayyib. Go ahead, Mubarak.
Yeah, it increases one's love in Allah.
Like increases one's love of Allah. Second, another.
That's the Iman.
Iman, increase of Iman. He increases Iman in your Rabb. And love of Him and... I don't know who that... I see a hand, but I don't know. Mustafa. Mustafa Thani. Now, what you said? Ta'zeem, meaning? exaltation, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the more a person knows Allah by His names and His sifat, the more that person will be increased in iman in Allah, and in love of Allah, and in exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these three things, iman, wa hub, wa ta'zim lillah, yani are from the most important things that a person could have, yani could be desirous of in this world. That is iman in Allah, increase of iman, and increase in love of Allah, and increase of ta'zim of Allah. And Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah and other scholars, yani before or after, have pointed these three things out as being from the most important things that connect the abd to his Rabb. Yani, that is having iman in him and having love for him, which motivates us to do good deeds, and ta'zim of him, yani, which motivates us to avoid disobeying him. Question number three, discuss two matters that one should contemplate over as it relates to the second sabab of ziyadatul iman. Two matters that should be contemplated over as it relates to the second cause of increase of iman. What is the second cause, first of all? Contemplating, reflecting, contemplating over the signs of Allah in the universe and in the revelation. So, what are two matters that should be considered in this matter of contemplating the signs of Allah? Two matters. Now, Mubarak again. Okay, ayat-i shari'i al-kawniyya. So, when we are looking at these things, what should a person be looking for in them? The Shaykh mentioned two things. يعني ما اشتملت عليه من القدرة الباهرة والحكمة البالغة. يعني that we should see in the creation of Allah, in the signs of Allah in the creation, the magnificent, splendid, يعني power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what He has created in creation. And in the ayat of Allah, in the ahkam of Allah, in the sharia, and what He has revealed, we see in it the far-reaching, unlimited hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what He has revealed, what He has legislated for the people to live by. Now, question number four. Mention the three things to be considered as it relates to acts of obedience that cause ziyadatul iman. Three things that should be considered in reference to acts of obedience as a cause of increase of iman. Now, Murshid. Okay, doing how well the person does the act of obedience, which entails, yani, it entails ikhlas and also mutaba'a. Ikhlas, sincerity, and mutaba'a. Yani, doing it in accordance with the sunnah, in accordance with the sharia. Yani, how well you did the deed. Yani, doing it well, not just doing a good deed, but doing it well. Second thing, somebody else. Naam.
What type of deed that you
do? Okay, the type of deed. Naam, jinsu. Yani the type of deed. Because some types of deeds are better than other types of deeds. And the last thing, somebody else. Naam, what's your name, brother?
Abdul Hamid.
Abdul Hamid. Naam, Abdul Hamid.
How often you do the
deeds? How often you do it. Yani, the amount of good deeds that you do. Yani, doing plenty of good deeds. Yani, doing it well. Choosing, yani, trying to do the best of deeds. And doing plenty of them. Yani, kathratua. The next question, number five. Discuss two matters necessary for and of critical importance to the fourth sabab, being a cause of ziyadat al-iman. What is the fourth sabab of ziyadat al-iman? Tark al-ma'asiyah, abandoning acts of disobedience. So what are two matters that should be considered? Yani, one of them being necessary in order for that, abandoning good deeds, to be a cause of increase of iman, and the other one being a very important factor. That, yani, could be the means of the increase of iman, yani, being greater. Yani, one of them is abandoning good deeds, khawfan min Allah. Yani, some people abandoning evil deeds. Some people abandon, yani, acts of disobedience for different reasons. But in order for it to be a means of increase of iman, it has to be abandoned out of fear of Allah or seeking the pleasure of Allah. Not for some other reason. There may be many other reasons. And the second thing that the Shaykh mentioned that is critical in reference to yani abandoning acts of disobedience that would determine yani how much it would be as a means of increase of iman is the strength of the urge, the call, the invitation to do it. Yani how strong is that urge? The stronger the urge is to do the act of disobedience, the more it will be a means of increase of iman if a person abandons it. Because that means it's more difficult to leave it. If there's a very, very strong urge, that means it's more difficult to leave it. If the person leaves it, that means the increase of iman will be greater. Alaykum salam. Than if there was yani a weak urge or desire or invitation to do it. These are things that yani are practical matters that we have to yani understand and we have to yani reflect upon so that we can try to act in accordance with them. Question number 6. Summarize the 4 primary asbab, causes of naqs of iman, yani decrease of iman, mentioned by the author, rahimahullah. 4 primary causes of decrease of iman. First one being, naam, mubarak. Al-jahl an asma'illahi wa sifati. Yani being ignorant of the names of Allah and His sifat. Not knowing the names of Allah and sifat. This is a cause of decrease of iman. Second one, na'udu kareem. Disobedience. That's not the second one, but we'll come to it, inshallah. Second one that the Shaykh mentioned. Who's that back there? Mustafa.
Not contemplating on that.
Yani al-ghafla wal-i'rad an another. Naam. Being unaware, being unmindful, and turning away from, actually turning away from, yani consideration, contemplation, or looking at the signs of Allah in the creation and in the Sharia. Naam.
I have a question. The word Arabic doesn't mean like...
The word what?
The ghafla. The word doesn't
mean... Al-ghafla?
Doesn't mean like being neglectful.
It could mean that.
Oh.
But that's not what it means here.
Oh, okay.
What it means here is... No problem. It actually means here that a person is unmindful. That they are not thinking about something. It's not in their mind. And al-ghafla, a person in ghafla, means that they are not thinking about what's going on around them. They're in another world. Okay? So in some case, perhaps, it could have another meaning, but this is what is intended here. And that's the primary meaning of al-ghafla, means to be unmindful, to be inattentive, to not be paying attention to something. Yani a person goes out into the street every day and never looks up at the sky, never looks at the stars in the night, in the moon, never looks at the signs of Allah, just completely unmindful that Allah's creation is there. That's what is intended. That a person is not paying attention to this. Naam. That's 2, right?
No.
3. Huh?
3.
That's 3?
Abdul Karim.
Oh, Abdul Karim said what?
He said the third one.
Third one, he said what?
Yes.
What did you say, Abdul Karim?
Masiyah.
Disobedience?
Masiyah.
Okay, committing acts of disobedience. And then the fourth one?
Not performing the acts of worship.
Not performing acts of obedience to Allah. Yani abandoning tark ata'a. Abandoning acts of obedience. And if there are acts of obedience that a person is able to do, but they abandon them. They don't?
For no legal reason.
Without a legal reason. That will come to it, inshallah. Question number 7. Mention 2 harms that result from the second sabab of naqs of iman. Yani 2 harms that the Shaykh mentioned, which are the result of the second cause of decrease of iman. And also mention how and why these harms occur. First of all, what is the second cause of decrease of iman? Huh? Tayyib. Yani, being unmindful or turning away from consideration, contemplation, reflection on the signs of Allah. This is the second cause of decrease of iman. And the Shaykh mentioned 2 harms that result from that. And he also mentioned how or why. What are those 2 harms? Naam. MashaAllah, Ya Mustafa, I can't see you at all. Yani, subhanAllah. All I see is a hand. Naam. I want to see you. Yeah, mard. Yani, one of the harms is that this, yani, being unmindful of the signs of Allah, and not reflecting upon the signs of Allah, caused the heart to become sick. It causes the heart to become sick. And the second harm is worse than the first, and that is the death of the heart. And if the person is walking around physically, their heart is dead. If they're unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the signs of Allah in the creation and in the revelation. Mention four considerations related to the naqs. Naam. It's not complete?
No.
Oh yeah, how? Why are those? Why does the heart become sick, or why does it die?
Desire for the desire, you know, engage in the sins and corruptions and immorality.
because why? Because the heart becomes sick and the heart dies due to the shahwat and the shubuhat overcoming the heart. The heart that's unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shahwat, the desires of the person, conquers, overcomes their heart. And the shubahat, the doubtful matters, overcomes their heart and causes them to become sick or cause the heart, yani, to die. Mention four considerations related to decrease of iman due to committing ma'asiyah. Yani, the committing acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a cause of decrease of iman. So what are the four considerations that the shaykh mentioned in reference to this particular matter? That is, the commission of sinful acts. What are the four things that he mentioned? Now,
the types of sin.
The types of sin. Okay, the types of sin.
The amount of sin.
The amount of sinning that a person does. And because some sins are worse than others, right? So that means it's going to be a greater cause of decrease of iman. And also the amount of sin, the more sins a person commit, is going to be a greater cause of decrease of iman. Somebody else help us with something.
I have
you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, he doesn't want any help. I'm sorry.
How lenient a person.
It was me that wanted to help, not you. But go ahead, it's okay. I wanted to help. I said, somebody help us. I meant help me. Now. Now.
How lenient a person takes a sin to be.
How lightly the person takes the sin to be. Yani the person who commits sins in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doesn't think much of it. It's nothing. It's not that important. It's no big deal.
And the fourth one is the strength of the call, the desire for a person to commit.
The strength of the call or the weakness of the call. Yani the greater the call to doing it or the lesser the call is going to make a difference in what? Yani in the decrease of iman. It's going to make a difference in the decrease of iman. And the last question being, explain, question number 9, explain in detail two types of abandoning acts of obedience. Yani, one of the causes of decrease of iman is abandoning acts of obedience. So the Shaykh, he mentioned two types of abandoning acts of obedience with an example for each of them. Be careful, this question is a little bit, yani, detailed. Huh?
Tuhawl.
Anta tuhawl. Hawl. MashaAllah. Bismillah.
Tark al-wajib bila udhr.
One type is tark al-wajib bila udhr shar'i. Yani that a person abandons something that's obligatory without any legal excuse.
Sharia excuse.
Without any legal excuse.
The second one is la yuraqib. The other one is huwa tark al-wajib.
What, start from the beginning. The second one is what? I didn't hear what you said in the beginning.
The second one is living the.
The first type is. The first type is the type in which.
You will punish.
Yu'aqib alayhi. Naam. You gave the example, but you didn't give me the type, okay? The first type. Let's go back to the beginning. The first type is the type. Abandoning, yani, the type of abandoning an act of obedience, which is an act for which if you abandon it, you will be punished. Yu'aqib alayhi. And that, he said, that means that a person abandons an obligatory duty without a legal excuse. That's the first type. The type in which a person would be punished if he abandons it. And the second type,
which if you abandon it, you will not be punished.
The type of ta'a, act of obedience, which if you abandon it, you will not be punished. لا يعاقب عليه. You will not be punished for it.
No. In the example for the first one is, for example, salah. If you leave the salah.
No. Okay, an example of the type that you would be punished for. abandoning it, if a person abandons an obligatory prayer, for example, one of the five daily prayers, or the fast of Ramadan, or some other obligatory duty like zakat and so on. And if a person abandons that without a shari'i, yani udhr, then that means a person will be punished for it. This is the first type. Second type is the type in which you will not be punished for abandoning that deed. And he said he divided it into two parts. He divided it into two parts. Like for example,
Salatul Duha.
No, that's the second one of it.
That's the second one of it, yeah. He said, Naam Abdul Hamid. That's an example. Naam, that's an example. That's an example. The second type, right? Like I said, this particular issue, how the Shaykh explained it, it's a little bit detailed and it's summarized, so some of it might be easily missed, right? The second type is the type in which a person would not be punished for abandoning it. And this is in two categories. The first category is the person abandons something that's obligatory, but they have a shari'i excuse. And the second type is that a person abandons something that's mustahab, that's not obligatory. And he gave an example for each of them. For the first one, that a person abandons something that's obligatory with a shari'i excuse, he said, somebody gave the example. He said what? The woman who abandons the obligatory prayer due to menses. Okay? It's an obligatory duty, but she abandoned it with a udhr, shari'i. She has a legitimate excuse. So she will not be punished for it. And the second type, he said, is the person who abandons something that's a mustahab. That's not obligatory, but it's beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's commendable, it's praiseworthy, it's rewardable. A person will not be punished for abandoning it. And the example he gave of that is like Salatul Duha. It's commendable, it's praiseworthy, it's very important. But if a person abandons it, he will not be punished for it. But nonetheless, all of these are what? Causes of decrease of iman. And that is critical to keep in mind. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish you for abandoning something that's mustahab. He will not punish you for it. But guess what? It's a cause of decrease of iman. So sometimes the person says, well, it's not obligatory, I don't need to do that. No, you do need to do that. You are in need to do everything that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability and not take the matter lightly. And this is some of what we talked about last week. I'm sorry that we took so much time with this, but in any case, because of the importance of the subject last week, took a little bit extra time. Tonight, bi'idhni Allah ta'ala, we're going to take the last topic related to Al-Iman from the last chapter of Hamawiyyah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah summarized Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them. Let me just alert you to the fact that that at the end of this session we're going to do the questions tonight. Okay, so please pay attention to the questions for this particular session. And we're going to do the questions when we finish. And it's brief. And it's only two pages. We're going to read these two pages, inshallah, and hopefully they'll be clear. And then we're going to try to answer the questions at the end. And I guess I should mention also that, as I mentioned to the primer class on Sunday, I'm expecting to travel very soon. I don't know, this week or next week. Yani within the next 2 weeks, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, if Allah facilitates the affair for me. Unfortunately, I don't have a passport. I'm applying for a passport, but I don't have a passport. I do not have a passport. Some brothers already congratulated me from the primer class, said, mashallah, when you get to Qatar, how will we be able to contact you? We'll still have the same phone number and email. Well, I don't have a passport. So it's not like that, right? I wish it were. May Allah make a way for all of us, for that which we are in need of. That's something that I am in need of. But in any case, I expect to be traveling as soon as possible. And I'm trying to make the arrangements now. So within the next week or two, inshallah, I hope that Allah will make facilitate the affair for me to travel. As a result of that, that's why I want to do the questions tonight. Because next week, Allahu A'lam, I might not be here. I might not be here next week. But otherwise, if I am here, inshallah, then we'll do some topic. I'll send the email what the topic will be, and we'll talk about it. Be'idhin Allah ta'ala. Topic tonight is on page 125 and page 126 of Hamawiyyah. I don't know in English what page is this on. Anybody know? Anybody have an English copy? What page is on in English? I wish I could tell you what page is on. I think I have a copy of this book in here. Nobody has English, right? Inshallah. Huh? You can what? No, it's not. It's just a problem that I didn't. I should have written it down. Hamawiyah. Decreasing iman. It's an ad. So on page 175, 176, and 177. 175, 176, and 177 of the English translation of Hamawiyah. And by the way, the copy that I have is a reprint of the book. The original print of that book it's not available anymore, and the pages are a little bit different. So the page number might be different. The page is a little bit different. In any case, it's somewhere like that. It's the last chapter of the book and the end of the last chapter. Fasl fi al-istithna'i fil imani. Yani, this is a subject which is related to al-istithna, yani making exception concerning al-iman. And that's how it means literally, but the actual meaning of it, the Shaykh is going to explain now. Al-istithna fil iman. Yani, this issue of al-istithna fil iman is the issue of aqidah, because it's related to the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah concerning iman, that iman is not just conviction in the heart, but it's also speech on the tongue and actions, and that it increases and decreases, and it varies between the people. It's not the same for every believer that the iman is the same. Okay? Whereas the Murji'ah, all the groups of the Murji'ah agree that actions are not a part of iman, and therefore they say iman is just something, a conviction, affirmation in the heart. If you have it, you have it, and if you don't, you don't. And because of that, yani, because of their difference on this particular issue, they held the position that you don't have to say inshallah. If you have iman in your heart, you know that there's a conviction, that there's some conviction in your heart. You know it, so you have it. You don't have to say, I have iman in my heart, inshallah. You just say, I have iman in my heart, okay? But the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah have a different view, and that's the origin of this particular issue. The difference between Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah concerning the definition of iman and some of the deviant groups like the Murji'ah, who do not believe actions are part of iman. And that's why some people who don't even know the word Murji'ah, some of them they say, and if you see them not praying, and you say, brother, you have to pray, sister, you have to pray, they say, my iman is in my heart. Yani, actions have nothing to do with it. And they don't even know what is Murji'ah or Irja'ah. But that's actually what they're acting upon, that false belief. The actions are not a part of iman. That is just something in your heart. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. I've actually heard people say that. Extremely dangerous statement for a person to make, or to believe, and then to live upon that, to act like that. It's common back home. Allahu musta'an. May Allah save us from that. Al-istithna fil iman. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, or Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his summary of Hamawiyyah, says, al-istithna fil iman, ay yaqula ana mu'min insha'Allah. And what do we mean by istithna fil iman? It is that a person, a believer, a mu'min, a Muslim, says, ana mu'min, inshallah. I'm a believer, inshallah. This is what we mean by istithna fil iman, that a believer says, I'm a believer, inshallah. Yani, in other words, he connects his iman, he attaches his iman, he makes conditional his iman, yani, the will of Allah, that is based upon the will of Allah. He attaches his iman to the will of Allah, that everything is by the will of Allah. And nobody can do anything or have anything or whatever it might be, nothing will happen except that is by the will of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran in so many places, وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةً إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And nothing happens, nothing befalls, no calamity befalls in the earth or in yourselves, in other ayats, he said, except by the permission of Allah. The Shaykh, he says, the people, meaning the Muslims, have differed. قَدْ اِخْتَلَفَ النَّاسِ فِيهِ عَلَىٰ ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْوَالٍ. Yani, the Muslims differed concerning this issue about a person saying, I am a believer, and adding to it, inshallah. Inshallah. I am a believer, inshallah. The people differ concerning this, and there are three views. ثَلَاثَةِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْوَالِ. Three sayings, three positions, three views. الْقَوْلَ الْأَوَّلِ. الْقَوْلَ الْأَوَّلِ تحريم الاستثناء. The first view is that it is prohibited, it's forbidden to do this, to say, I'm a believer, inshallah. Just say, I'm a believer, that's it. Finished. I'm going to skip a little bit and go to the second opinion. القول الثاني, وجوب الاستثناء. The second view is that it's obligatory to, yani, say, inshallah. When you say, I am a mu'min, you have to say, inshallah. It's obligatory. And the third view, which came on the next page, top of the next page, al-qawl al-thalith, at-tafseel. At-tafseel means what? That it is not absolutely haram, not absolutely obligatory. Rather, this issue, its ruling, has some details. We have to have, consider this, and consider this, and consider another thing. Yani, there's detail. There's a detail, explanation of this. Not just the ruling it's haram or that it's obligatory. Rather, there's some detail. These are the three views. And then, rahimahullah, the author, briefly discuss each one of them. The first view, tahrim al-istithna. Huwa qawl al-murja wal-jahamiyya. This is the view of two deviant groups, the murja and the jahamiyya. This was their view. That is forbidden to say, inshallah, when you say, I am a believer. And those who are like them also included with them. But those who are well known for this, murja and jahamiyya. Ma akhadhu hadha al-qawl. What is the basis for this particular view? The basis for it is, and al iman shay'un wahidun. That iman is one thing. It's a unit. It's one unit. Ya'lamuhu al-insan min nafsihi. A person knows about his own self that he has it or doesn't have it. Wa huwa at-tasdiq alladhi fi qalb. And it is the affirmation that is in the heart. Yani iman is the affirmation that a person has. Tasdiq means what? That he yusaddiq. He testifies that this is true. That Allah is the creator of the heaven and earth and the Lord of all the worlds and the only one that deserves to be worshipped. In his heart, he believes that to be true. He affirms that as being true. That's tasdiq. It's in his heart. And they said that this is it. It doesn't include speech and actions. Or some of them said speech too. But they all agreed that it does not include actions. It's something that the person knows of himself. It's affirmation that's in his heart. So if a person makes exception, الاستثناء فيه كان دليل على شكه. If a person said, since it's affirmation, it's something that's in your heart, you know that you believe this or you don't. So if a person says, I have this affirmation, this confirmation, this iman in my heart, inshallah. Inshallah, that means they said, that means that he's in doubt. Does he really have it or not? And if somebody says, I'm going to meet you tomorrow, inshallah. I'm not certain, but inshallah, I'm going to meet you tomorrow. They said, if a person says, inshallah, when he says, I'm a believer, that means that he has doubt. This is an indication that he has doubt about his iman. And this is why they call those who said, yani inshallah, ana mu'min inshallah, they call them the shakkaka, yani the doubters. Whoever said that about iman, yani inshallah, they said these are the people of doubt. And by the way, as the Shaykh mentions later on, just to clarify at this point so that it will be clearer as you go along, yani iman requires jazm, yani certainty. And therefore, if a person is in doubt about whether or not he has iman or not, then he doesn't have iman. Yani if a person says, I don't know if I have iman in my heart or not, then he doesn't have it. There can't be doubt. There has to be certainty. Yani iman requires certainty. I know that I have iman in my heart. Is it perfect and complete? That's another matter altogether. But do I have iman? Do I actually believe in Allah? Yes, I know that I do or don't. Everybody knows. Yani the kafir knows that in his heart he doesn't believe in Allah. He knows that. And the Muslim knows that he does believe in Allah, even if his iman is weak, even if he's disobedient, even if he's sinful, but he knows that he believes in Allah. So a believer cannot say, I don't know if I have any iman or not. He can say, I don't know if I have perfect iman. Probably he knows he doesn't. But in any case, the point is, yani that's a different matter. The perfection, the completion of iman. Here we're talking about aslul iman. Does he have iman at all? Does he actually in his heart believe that Allah is the one that deserves to be worshipped?
Assalamu
alaikum salam.
So you would have to be certain that you have iman, but yet declare Allah's will.
Declares, yani to a person has to be sure that they have iman. Okay, we'll get to the second view in a minute, right? I think perhaps what you are saying is, does a person still have to say, I'm certain that I have iman in my heart, but I have to say, inshallah? We're going to talk about that in detail. Okay? We're going to talk about that in detail. When we get to the view of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, the third view, we're going to talk about that in detail because there are different considerations that have to be considered. The second view is wujub al-istithna. Wujub al-istithna. The first view is the view of the Murji'ah and Jahmiyyah. The second view is the view of that it's obligatory. If a person says, Ana mu'min, it's obligatory to say, inshaAllah. This is the view of the second, this is the second yani view concerning this, that it's obligatory to say so. هَذَا الْقَوْلَ لَهُ مَا أَخَذَانَ. And there are two bases or two reasons why this view is held, that it's obligatory, for two reasons. The first reason is the reason of the mutaakhirin min al-kullabiyya wa ghayrihim. Yani the first reason, it was the basis of the latter day mutaakhirin min al-kullabiyya, one of the groups, one of the sects, yani that came from Islam, one of the sects, the later day kullabiyya, and others besides them, even until today. Some of the people of Sunnah even say it today. It's not like absolutely wrong, but in any case, yani, we'll look at it. The first basis or reasoning for saying it's obligatory is that reasoning that was used by the latter day kullabiyya and others besides them. They said that iman huwa ma mat al insan alayhi. It is that which a person dies upon. Iman is what? That which a person dies upon. That's iman. Like in other words, if a person is doing good deeds and praying and doing all that stuff, but guess what? Before they died, that which is written overtakes them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they start doing the actions of the people of hellfire and die upon that. They will die as a Muslim or a kafir? A kafir. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ said some people will be doing the deeds of the people of paradise? And when they're arm's length from the paradise, that which is written overcome them, and they begin to do the deeds of the people of hellfire, and they went to the hellfire. And the opposite. So what a person dies upon, that's what really counts. They said, al-iman is huwa mamata al-insan alayhi, that which a person dies upon. So the person will either be a believer or a kafir, bihasab al-muwafat. Yani depending on what they die upon. Did they die upon iman or did they die upon kufr? وَهَذَا Yani what a person is going to die upon, هَذَا شَيْءٌ مُسْتَقْبَلْ غَيْرُ مَعْلُومٌ. This is something in the future. That's not known. Nobody knows what they're going to die upon. That's something in the future. So therefore, they said, it's not permissible. فَلَا يَجُوزْ الْجَزْمُ بِهِ Nobody can say with certainty that I'm going to die upon iman. Nobody can say that with certainty. And for this reason, yani, they said that you have to say inshallah. Meaning, I believe in Allah, but inshallah I'm going to die upon iman. That's what they're saying, inshallah about what? What I'm going to die upon. I don't know what I'm going to die upon. I know what I'm upon right now. I'm certain about that. But can I guarantee that I'm going to die upon iman? May Allah save us from turning away from this way. This is the basis or the argument of many of the latter day kullabi and others in them. The Shaykh, he says here, after this view, that the second view, that it's obligatory to say inshallah, and the reasoning is because iman is what a person dies upon, and that's something in the future, and nobody knows what it is. Therefore, nobody can say with certainty that they're going to die upon iman. Therefore, they said you have to say inshallah. Meaning, inshallah, I'm going to die upon iman. This is the basis of their yani position, that you have to say inshallah. لكن هذا المأخذ لم يعلم أن أحدا من السلف ألل به. But this particular basis for saying it's obligatory, it was not known from anyone from amongst the Salaf that they made this the reason for saying it's obligatory to say inshallah. Those who said it's obligatory to say that you must say inshallah, they said for a different reason. Okay? So there are two reasons why the people of the past said you have to say inshallah. This is the first reason. But the Shaykh said what? It's not known that anyone from amongst the Salaf used that as the basis for saying it's obligatory to say inshallah. But rather, إِنَّمَا كَانُوا يُعَلِّلُونَ بِالْمَا أَخَذْ أَثَانِي. Rather, the Salaf, they used to use a different reason for saying you have to say inshallah. And that is, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ الْمُطْلَقُ يَتَضَمَّنُ فِعْلْ جَمِيعِ الْمَعْمُرَاتِ وَتَرْكْ جَمِيعِ الْمَحْذُورَاتِ وَهَذَا لَا يَجْزَمْ بِهِ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ Yani the reason that some of the people from the past, yani the Salaf, said that you have to say inshallah is because al-iman al-mutlaq. Yani al-iman al-mutlaq, it means al-iman al-kamil. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah in Kitab al-Iman, he uses two expressions that are very close. A person has to pay attention to them if you come across them. Mutlaq al-iman and iman al-mutlaq. These have two different meanings. Mutlaq al-Iman, it means aslul iman, that a person has iman, something of iman, the base of iman, even if it's not great. But they have the asl of iman. Al-Iman al-Mutlaq means al-Iman al-Kamil, that a person has perfect iman, complete and perfect iman. Okay, here they're talking about what? Al-Iman al-Mutlaq, complete and perfect iman. Al-Iman al-Mutlaq, complete and perfect iman, yatadammanu, yani is comprised of doing all of the things that we have been commanded with and abandoning all of the things that we have been prohibited from. And this is something that no human being can say with certainty about himself, that I have completely, perfectly fulfilled every command and avoided every prohibition. لا يجزم به الإنسان من نفسه. And look what the Shaykh says here. He says, وَلَوْ جَزَمَ. And if somebody were to say with certainty that I have al-Iman al-Mutlaq, complete and perfect iman, I've fulfilled every command completely and perfectly. Not just did I pray, but I performed the prayer perfectly, the way it has to be done. With perfect, yani compliance with the sunnah, and perfect khushu' and ikhlas. Yani if a person were to say that, لَكَانَ قَدْ زَكَى نَفْسَهُ, then that person has ascribed to himself purity, righteousness. He has ascribed to himself that I am from the righteous people. وَشَهِدَ لَهُ لَهَا بِأَنَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَالْأَبْرَارِ. And he would have borne witness for himself that I am from the muttaqeen. I am one of the people of taqwa. I am from the abrar, the pure and righteous people. He would have borne witness for himself to such. وَكَانَ يَنْبَغِي عَلَى هَذَا أَنْ يَشْهَدْ لِنَفْسِهِ بِأَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ. And if he were to do so, to say I have complete and perfect iman, and that I am from the muttaqeen and the abrar, then he should just as well also have borne witness that he's from the people of Jannah. Then he should have also then borne witness that he's from the people of Jannah. وَهَذِهِ لَوَازِمْ مُمْتَنِعَ. And these are necessary conclusions from the person saying about himself that I have complete and perfect iman. It necessitates then that that person also has ascribed purity to himself. And that person has declared himself to be from the muttaqeen and the abrar, the pure and righteous people. In which case, the next necessary conclusion is that he's from the people of Jannah. Here I just want to mention a note that I found of beautiful importance. It's mentioned by one of the sheikhs from Al-Jazair, Sheikh Farkus. Allah yahfadhu, may Allah protect and preserve him. He mentioned in this discussion of this topic, he said that a person cannot declare himself to have complete and perfect iman. And it is for this reason that when it was said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, inna hadha yazam annahu mu'min. Somebody went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, this guy here is claiming that he's a mu'min. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to him, and he's declaring, ascribing to himself righteousness, piety, without saying inshallah. He's saying, I'm pure, I'm from the abrar, muttaqeen. Yani, almost about to say I'm from the people of Jannah, but he didn't go that far. Abdul Masud said, he says that he's a mu'min. He said, فَاسْأَلُوهُ أَفِي الْجَنَّةِ هُوَ أَوْ فِي النَّارِ. Ask him then, is he going to be in the paradise or in the hellfire? So they asked him and he said, Allahu A'lam. I'm not going that far. Allahu A'lam. Abdul Masud said then, فَهَلَّا وَكَلْتَ الْأُولَى كَمَا وَكَلْتَ الْآخِرَةِ. It would have been better for him. The same way he said he can't claim that he's from the Ahlul Jannah. He said Allah knows best. It would have been better for him to say the same thing about his iman. Allah knows best. Don't make an absolute assertion about yourself, ascribing purity to yourself, like this. So this is an interesting incident that's mentioned in some of the books of the people of Sunnah. That if a person ascribes to themselves purity, they just as well go to the next step and say that I'm from the people of Jannah. And who will say that? Only the extremists, Sufis, or some of these other crazy people would say like this. No normal Muslim would say, I'm from the Ahlul Jannah. Certainly not the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. After this, the Shaykh, he says, Qawl al-Thalith. What is the Qawl al-Thani? The Qawl al-Thani is that it's obligatory to say inshallah. When you say ana mu'min, it's obligatory to say inshallah. For one of two reasons. Yani some of the people said, because you don't know what you're going to die upon. And iman is what you die upon. That's what really counts. And the other people said, because. Yani if you just say, ana mu'min, then you're actually, without any exception, without saying inshallah, it means that you're saying you have complete and perfect iman. It means that you are ascribing purity to yourself. It means that you're saying from you're from the muttaqeen. And you just as well say that you're from the Ahlul Jannah. Therefore you say what? Ana mu'min? Inshallah. Ana mu'min. Yani I know that I have iman. But I'm not trying to claim what? That I have complete and perfect iman. As far as that, inshallah. Yani that's with Allah. The third view, a tafsil, the detailed explanation concerning the ruling of saying inshallah when a person says ana mu'min. Fa in kana, the shaykh, he mentions three different matters here. Okay, the first one he said, yani the ruling about whether or not saying inshallah with ana mu'min, whether it's obligatory or it's forbidden or it's permissible or whatever, is based on what the person intends when they're saying that. When he says ana mu'min, what did he intend by that? That's what makes the difference. People might intend different things. He said, in kana al istithna sadiran an shak fi wujud aslul iman, fahada muharram, bal kufr. If a person says, ana mu'min inshallah, this word inshallah is the result of having doubt about the very existence of iman at all. He doubts, he's not sure that he has iman at all. He said, this is haram to say inshallah in this case. Rather, he said, it's kufr. If a person says, I don't know if I have any iman. The asl of iman, mutlaq al-iman. He doesn't know if he has any iman at all. He said, this is haram to say inshallah. I don't know, I'm in doubt about whether I have iman. Rather, it's kufr. Why is it kufr? لِأَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ جَزْمٌ. Because iman requires certainty. وَشَكْ يُنَافِهِ. And doubt negates certainty. Negates that person's iman. Yani this statement is kufra because it's coming as a result of what? A person having doubt about their iman, and that doubt negates the iman. There can't be doubt about iman. A person has to be sure that they, in their heart, that they believe in Allah. How great is the iman? That's a different matter. How strong is the iman? That's a different matter. But you can't doubt, I don't know if I really believe in Allah or not. That person is not a Muslim.
Could you repeat the Arabic? Doubt negates
certainty. Naam, you don't have an Arabic copy of the book?
No.
Oh. Taib. He said, it is haram, it is kufr. لِأَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ جَزْمٌ وَالشَّقُّ يُنَافِيهِ. Iman, jazmun. وَالشَّقُّ يُنَافِيهِ. Yani it negates it. It negates iman. The second consideration. In that case, what? If a person is saying that they don't know if they really have iman, then in that case, saying أَنَا مُؤْمِن inshallah, that's forbidden. Rather, it's kufr. The second possibility. إِنْ كَانَ صَادِرًا عَنْ خَوْفٍ تزكيه النفس والشهاده لها بتحقيق الايمان قولا وعملا واعتقادا فهذا واجب. If it, the person is saying ana mu'min inshallah, they're saying inshallah as a result of what? As a result of fear of ascribing purity to themself. Khawfan min what? Min tazkiyat an-nafs, of ascribing purity to himself, righteousness to himself. Out of fear of that, he said inshallah. Inshallah, I'm not making any absolute statement. I'm a believer. I know I have iman in my heart, but inshallah, yani it's good. Yani it's iman that's going to be of benefit. Out of fear of ascribing purity to himself, was shahada laha, and bearing witness for himself, bi tahqiq al iman, that he has realized, achieved completely and totally iman in speech, in actions, and in conviction of the heart. That he has completely realized iman. Fahada wajib. If that's the case, that the person is saying, inshallah, ana mu'min inshallah, out of fear of ascribing purity to themselves or bearing witness that they have achieved the perfection of iman, not only in what is in the heart, but in speech and in action too, and all that it requires, then in that case, if that's the reason, it's obligatory to say inshallah. Why? Out of fear, khawfan min hadha al-mahdhur. Out of fear of falling into this prohibited thing. What prohibited thing? Tazkiyat al-nafs. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the Shaykh doesn't mention the ayat, but he alludes to the ayat that's in Surah Al-Najm. Surah Al-Najm is 53rd surah, 32nd ayat. فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah says, therefore do not ascribe purity to yourselves. Allah, He knows best who has taqwa. So this is a prohibited thing for a person to say about myself, I really did such a great job, I was carrying this thing all the way, I'm the one who established this masjid, I established the community, I did this, and I did a great job, I did a wonderful job, I did the best job that anybody could have done. You talking about yourself like that? Huh? It's more than arrogance. Arrogance is just general. We're talking about ascribing to yourself that which Allah knows best. What you did, why you did it. Not just what you did. Because the people might see what you did, but why did you do it? And that's like the person died in jihad and they said he's a shaheed. How do you know what was in his heart? You saw him fighting, but you don't know what's in the heart. Allah knows best. Allahu a'lam biman ittaqa. It's not for you to say that about yourself. It's not for you to say that. That's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third consideration, وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمَقْصُودُ مِنَ الْإِسْتِثْنَاءِ. It's another consideration. What if the person said, أَنَا مُؤْمِنْ inshaAllah, because of what? الْمَقْصُودُ مِنَ الْإِسْتِثْنَاءِ التَّبَرُّقْ بِذِكْرِ الْمَشِيَةِ. That the person is really saying, inshaAllah, for the barakah, the blessings of mentioning this expression, the Mashiyah of Allah. That everything is by the will of Allah. Nothing is outside of that. So there's barakah in that. There's barakah in that. If a person says it for that reason, or bayan at-ta'aleel, clarification of the reason, yani explanation of the reason of their iman, why they have iman, وَأَنَّمَا قَامَ بِقَلْبِهِ مِنَ الْإِمَانِ بِمَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ. If a person said this because what? They just want to clarify that أنا مؤمن, but the iman that's in my heart is because of the will of Allah. Because Allah willed it, because nothing happens except by the will of Allah. So a person saying, أنا مؤمن, يعني, inshaAllah. يعني, the iman that I have in my heart, it is due to the will of Allah. Because if Allah willed, they would have been kuffar. And if Allah willed, they would have entered Islam by the will of Allah. Because Allah knows best, يعني, who to give His guidance to. He said this, if a person said it for this reason, فَهَذَا جَائِزْ, then it is permissible. يعني, if a person said, inshallah, after declaring themselves to be a mu'min, because they doubted the very existence of iman, this is haram and it's kufr. But if they said, inshallah, because they feared just ascribing righteousness to themselves, they feared that, so they said, inshallah. Or they said it just as an explanation or clarification that the iman that I have in my heart is by the will of Allah. Yani, I have done well, yani, by the permission of Allah. I have achieved something by the permission of Allah. Not because I am great. Huh? Because some people think that they achieve because they're great. Because they're smart. Because they're whatever. No, it's all by the permission of Allah. So a person may say, yani, this yani happened because of the permission of Allah. And then the shaykh closes. The shaykh closes by saying, وَتَعْلِيكَ. Yani, that's the end of yani the views. Okay, the third view is what? Tafseel. That if it's because of doubt of iman, that's haram, that's kufr. If it's because a person wants to avoid ascribing purity to themselves, then that is yani obligatory that they say it, inshallah. And if they're saying it because they just want to explain or clarify that I'm a mu'min, but it's because of the will of Allah, by the permission of Allah, by the favor of Allah, the bounty of Allah upon me, then that's permissible. That's permissible. So what is the ruling concerning saying, inshallah, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? It depends on why the person is saying it. It could be haram. It could be obligatory. It could be permissible. وَالتَّعْلِيكْ بِالْمَشِيَةِ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ أَعْنِي بَيَانَ التَّعْلِيلِ لَا يُنَافِي تَحَقُّقْ الْمُعَلَّقِ. Yani, this is like a little bit difficult language. Yani, the meaning here, as simple as I can make it, At-ta'aliq bi-mashiyah, connecting or attaching someone's iman, their claim of iman to the will of Allah in this way that has been mentioned here, that is as a clarification of the reason why they have iman. It's by the will of Allah. This does not nullify or negate tahakkuk al-mu'allak. It does not negate the reality or the realization of the thing that he's connecting to the Mashiach of Allah. What is the thing? Iman. He's saying his iman is connected to the Mashiach of Allah. Saying inshallah about it doesn't negate its existence. It's realization. It's actualization. It's reality that it exists. It doesn't negate it. Yani it's possible for a person to say about something that is certain, that is definite, to say inshallah, it's possible. And the Shaykh is saying here that this has been narrated. Yani قَدْ وَرَدَ التَّعْلِيقَ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ فِي أُمُورَ الْمُحَقَّقَةِ Yani it has come in the sources of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned something that's certain. And even though it's guaranteed, it exists, it's real, or it's definitely going to happen, there came the statement, inshallah. The example the Shaykh gives here, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ inshallah. آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّكِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ لَا تَخَافُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, you would definitely, meaning the Prophet and his companions, you will certainly, لَتَدْخُلُنَّ Lam is for ta'akid. And noon, mushaddada, is for ta'akid. Allah is saying, certainly, absolutely, definitely, you are going to enter the sacred masjid. Aminina, safe and secure. مُحَلَّكِينَ رُؤُسَكُمْ Cutting your hair, shaving your heads. لَا تَخَافُونَ Without any fear, that's going to happen. Even though right now the Muslims were weak at that time. Allah is telling the Prophet, you are going to enter the sacred masjids. Safe and secure, without any fear. But Allah said what? Inshallah. Why inshallah? This is definite, certain, no doubt about it. Allah promised the Prophet ﷺ that. And he said, Allah said, inshallah, that's going to happen. So this is a proof what? That saying inshallah does in no way negate the reality or the certainty of that particular matter. That a person has iman, saying inshallah doesn't negate the reality of the iman. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, inshallah, you're going to enter the sacred masjid, doesn't negate the certainty of that reality that that's going to happen by the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some other sources, it was also mentioned like this, there's the dua at the time of visiting the grave, where a person says, وَإِنَّا inshallah bikum lahikun. Yani that inna, we, verily we, inshallah, are going to meet up with you, the people in the graves. Yani we're going to die and be buried too. Inshallah, yani for sure. Right? Yani somebody's not going to die. Is there any doubt that everybody's going to die? But yet the Prophet ﷺ said, say, you're going to die and be in the grave too. Inshallah. That means that saying inshallah doesn't negate the certainty, the absoluteness, or the reality of that particular affair. The Shaykh says, وَبِهَذَا عُرِفَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَصِحُ إِطْلَاقَ الْحُكُمْ عَلَى الْإِسْتِثْنَى بَلْ لَابُدَّ مِنَ التَّفْصِيلِ السَّابِقِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ Yani the Shaykh said, so from this explanation, it becomes clear that it's not correct to make an absolute ruling concerning istithna, that it's absolutely haram, or it's absolutely obligatory. Rather, in some cases it could be haram, in some cases it could be obligatory, in some cases it could be permissible. Yani, there's no absolute ruling. Rather, we have to explain it in detail as has been explained, and Allah knows best. And may the salat and salam be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, his companions, all of them. Yani, we're almost at 1 hour. Shall we answer the questions?
Inshallah.
I'm extremely tired, but if you want to answer them, then it's just fine with me. No problem. Let's try to do it quickly, okay? First question. Explain what is intended when we talk about the Mashiach, about the mas'ala of istithna in iman. What do we mean when a person says al istithna fil iman? What do we mean by that?
Connecting it with the saying inshallah.
Yani connecting one's claim to iman to the will of Allah. Yani what we mean by that is that when a person says the mas'ala of istithna in iman, they mean that a believer says ana mu'min inshallah. That's what we're talking about. That a person says ana mu'min inshallah, meaning they're attaching their claim to iman to the will of Allah. Second question, what is the first view mentioned by the author concerning istithna and who are those who hold it? What's the first view concerning istithna? First view? Huh? Wow, five answers, too many. I can't understand five people at one time. Suleiman.
That is prohibited.
It's haram to say ana mu'min inshallah. That's the first view. Who did he ascribe that view to? Naam.
The Murji'a.
And the Jahmiyyah. Question number three. Discuss the basis or the source from which the first view is derived. Yani, what's their argument that it's haram to say, ana mu'min, inshallah? Naam.
Because
iman is one unit.
Uh-huh.
The person knows he has it, and the affirmation is in the heart, and saying, inshallah, is like having doubt. If a person has doubt, then he doesn't have.
Now.
And this is from the
Yeah, they are from the doubters. Now, their argument is what? That iman is one thing. It's that conviction or confirmation, yani, testifying to the truthfulness of something that's in the heart. And a person knows that if he has it in his heart. Okay, so, yani, saying inshallah, yani, is an indication that a person has doubt about the iman in their heart. They're not really sure if they have that iman. And this is, yani, a negation of iman. That's why they call the people who say, inshallah, when they say ana mu'min, they call them the doubters. Question number four. What is the second view mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, concerning the mas'ala of istithna? What is the second view? What is their view? The second people say what? They just said it's not haram. They said it's what? Who's that back there? What's your name, brother?
Brother Muhammad.
Yeah, Muhammad.
From Binghamton.
From Binghamton. Naam. I know the face. I said, I know this brother. But Muhammad, okay, mashallah, from Binghamton. That is obligatory. Yani, that saying, inshallah, when a person says, ana mu'min, it's obligatory to say, inshallah. This particular view has two arguments, or two bases, that why they said it's obligatory to say, inshallah. Discuss the first basis, or source of this second view, and those who hold this view. Yani, what's the basis of the opinion of the people who said it's obligatory, the first basis. Naam.
أن الإيمان هو ما مات على الإنسان عليه.
يعني the iman is that which a person dies upon.
أن الإنسان إنما مؤمن وكافر.
So that a person would be a believer or a kafir based on what he dies upon. And this is something يعني مستقبل غير معلوم. It's something that's in the future and nobody knows it. Therefore, nobody can say with certainty what they're going to die upon. So they said, therefore, you have to say, ana mu'min, right. Inshallah. Meaning, inshallah, I'm going to die upon iman, the iman that I'm upon today.
Who holds the view?
Who was the people who held that view?
The people, they are the...
I'll help you. The mutaakhirin. Min al-kullabiyya. Wa ghayrihim. Now. Tayyib, discuss. Question number six. Discuss the second basis or source of this second view, that it's obligatory, and those who hold this view. Second basis, second argument, and who held that view, second argument. Now, Muhammad. That a person says, inshallah, out of fear of ascribing righteousness to themselves, of claiming that I'm righteous, that I'm pious, out of fear of that, they said, ana mu'min, inshallah. Inshallah, because Allah knows the reality of the matter and yani what is the fullness of a person's condition of iman or other than this. This was the view of yani he said that this was the basis or the ma'akhadh of some of the salaf. Yani they didn't use that first argument, but they used this second argument.
And he gave an example.
And he gave what? Oh, yeah, that wasn't in the book. That was just an extra faida, inshallah. Tayyib. Question number seven. Yani, the first basis is what? That a person is saying that you don't know what they're going to die upon. And the second basis is out of fear of, yani, declaring themselves to be, yani, ascribing purity to themselves, which would lead a person to, yani, maybe go further and consider themselves to be from the people of taqwa and the people of righteousness and piety, and yani, which would necessitate them actually claiming that they're from the people of Jannah, and no one can do so. Therefore, it's a must that you have to say, inshallah. What is the third view mentioned? Question number seven. What is the third view mentioned by the author concerning this issue of istithna? What is the third view? The first view is that it's tahrim, it's haram. Second view that it's wajib. And third view is?
A tafsil.
A tafsil. What do we mean by tafsil? What does that word mean?
Detail.
That it requires a detailed explanation. It's not absolutely haram or absolutely obligatory, but it requires some detail. Question number eight, and this is the last question, is three parts. Discuss the three considerations which make up the details of this third view concerning the issue of istithna. Okay? Discuss the three considerations which make up this detailed view. What's the first consideration? Naam, yeah, Muhammad. We're going to give you a chance because he came all the way from Binghamton. Naam.
The first view is like, the certainty leaves the doubt. If the people say that, I am, inshallah, I have iman, if my heart does not really believe on that, it's iman, So he is not certain. So doubt is win there. See, he does not have iman. So this is a simply instead of going like kufr because he does not have doubt.
Now, the first consideration is, if a person says, "I'm a mu'min, inshallah," because of what? Why say inshallah? Because he's in doubt that he actually has iman or not at all. So that doubt is, yani, the opposite of what iman requires. Iman requires what? Jazm, certainty. And doubt negates certainty. So the person doesn't have iman. Therefore, it's haram for that reason to say inshallah. That's haram. Rather, it's kufr. Now, second consideration. Second consideration, yeah, Abdul Hamid, we don't see you every day.
Some may say inshallah out of fear of ascribing pure existence.
A person says inshallah out of fear of ascribing pure, of falling into the prohibition of ascribing purity to himself, and therefore, if the person says it for that, what's the ruling? Then it's obligatory. Okay? Yes. The first reason we said, if a person says it for that, it's haram. But if they said it for this reason, then it's obligatory to say, inshallah. If a person fears that, they are ascribing purity to themselves, then it's obligatory to say, inshallah. And the third consideration,
blessings, and to mention the blessings.
That a person may say it, yani that it's permissible for a person to say it, to mention the Mashiach of Allah as a source of, yani, the barakah that's in the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah, that nothing happens except by the permission of Allah. And the other part of it, that was one part of it. The other part of it was bayan at-ta'lil. Yani, that if a person says it as clarification of the explanation how they have iman in their heart, that their iman is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, this is a summary of what we talked about tonight. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.